Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Often been called a couple of turkeys, but we ignore that kind of stuff, right? The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. And a special guest today on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, we've got Linda Kaplan Thaler, CEO and Chief Creative Officer of the Kaplan Thaler Group Limited and author of the book, and it's called Bang.
Right.
Okay. We'll be talking with Linda here in just a little while. We've got a lot of great features coming up this hour as well. Mary Lou Quinlan, her thing this time around, Brad, is excuses.
Okay, we have plenty of those.
And she didn't have one, so she came up with excuses, right?
Great.
No. And we've got Andy Borowitz later on, Patrick Meyer, Fusion 5 next hour, and, of course, the wacky world of marketing on the Advertising Show. And we'll be joining, like I said, Linda in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. So, what's cooking?
Well, you know, every year that we do Thanksgiving, I think, why don't I eat turkey more often? And I don't mean just like a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean like a whole turkey.
A whole turkey?
I mean, why don't you cook a turkey and eat it in July?
Oh, okay.
Don't you think that when you have Thanksgiving?
No, I can do it with just once a year. Thank you very much.
By the way, there's a little something in the corner of your mouth.
I think that's
a cranberry.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
How about that? Thanks.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, they can see that from here.
Anyway, so it is the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and a lot of people are just taking some time off and relaxing, mm-hmm. and it's good that you've chosen to sit around the old radio
mm-hmm.
and listen to the Advertising Show.
I was going to ask you how your bird was this weekend, but, you know, that goes all the way back to what, the Steve Allen days?
The bird is still alive,
by the way.
Yeah.
Well, that's getting fresh. You can't get much fresher than that. I've seen your backyard, by the way.
The bird's name
is
Calvin.
Chickens back there.
Chickens.
All kinds of things.
Ostrich.
Yeah.
And a couple of llamas. Yeah, and one giraffe, too. Oh, wait, no, that's Michael Jackson's back here. I forgot.
You know, you're familiar with Carl's Jr. hamburger chain, right?
Oh, yeah, a big one in Los Angeles.
Exactly,
yes.
Out in California. A small Catholic college in California is outraged that the Playboy big guy, who would I be speaking of?
Hugh.
Yeah, Hugh. Hugh has appeared in a commercial for Carl's Jr. He stars in an ad for the fast food chain surrounded by beautiful women and discussing the merits of variety.
Really?
Well, of course, if you want to talk about variety.
Variety, that's Hugh.
That's Hugh.
Yeah.
Administrators at Thomas Aquinas College were offended by the ad, saying it's common knowledge that Hugh Hefner and Playboy stand for hedonism and unbridled pleasure seeking, and that it is impossible to reconcile with what we stand for, and as a result, the school has asked Andrew Pusder, who is the chief executive of CKE Restaurants, which owns Carl's Jr., to resign his post from the college's board of directors.
Really?
Now, in the ad, Hefner eats a bacon cheeseburger, Ray, and he says he wouldn't have one every night, pointing out the many choices at Carl's Jr. menu. Earlier this month, Pusder said that Hefner helped reach the target of young men with a credible message, questionable about that, credible message touting the benefits of variety. Now, I don't know about you, but this is more of a tongue-in-cheek deal that Hugh's doing, isn't it?
I would think so, but it still points out a very good point that you really have to be careful who you choose to be your spokesperson.
And, you know, when you use the word tongue-in-cheek and you're talking about Hugh Hefner, you better be a little careful, too.
That's true. That's true. I mean, they could have chosen Michael Jackson to do their ads, right?
You know,
would have been even worse.
He's now topped the strangest, what do they call that?
Isn't that weird? It looks like he is a burn victim or something.
Yeah,
very strange.
They say that he kept his makeup on for that.
Did he?
And then last week, just before Thanksgiving, who's the guy that did the song Galveston?
Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, he was arrested.
He was?
Yes, and it was just Tuesday, actually, as I recall. And he was arrested
for... What did he do?
Well, I guess imitating...
A country and western singer?
No.
No?
No, he was imitating that guy that got caught for drinking out in California that had the weird photo.
Okay.
You know, the guy, the actor.
Okay.
The guy that starred in with Barbara Streisand. Can you hear all of our listeners right now saying the word, the name that I'm trying to search for? You know, he had the mugshot where his hair's going, you know, sideways.
Okay.
And
right.
We'll think of it.
Billy Bob Thornton.
No,
not
him.
That's not right.
No, but it was
Billy Idol.
We'll get to this.
Paul McCartney.
The reason why we can't think of it is he doesn't have a strong brand. He's been out of the media for a while.
No kidding.
He's been laying low.
Here's somebody who does, though. Mary Lou Quinlan on The Advertising Show.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
If there's one thing I've learned in the 5 years since I started Just Ask a Woman, it's that marketers who get women really get them, and the marketers who don't, don't. I have heard some amazing excuses why companies don't listen to women, and they may be why they're not getting their fair share of women's dollars. Here are some of my favorites. Yeah, we listen to women. We did some groups with them a couple of years ago. Right, so 24 women locked up in a deadly focus group in Paramus, New Jersey in 2001 said it all. Women keep changing. Do you? Here's another one. Women can't tell us where to go. We need to lead them. It's true that women can't write your ad, but they can tell you what their lives are like and if you get what's important to them. Here's another one. Oh, our customer service department handles all the calls that come in. How long has it been since you've sat in on some of those calls? I've observed that customer service departments are some of the most depressed, underpaid, high turnover departments, and that's who you lead your customer care to? And one of my all-time favorites. We have a special women's department set up to deal with women's issues. If women are your powerhouse customer, why are they relegated to the ladies' room? Isn't your biggest customer everybody's business? If these excuses sound familiar, you might want to come up with a new script. Don't worry, you won't turn your company pink, but you just might see a lot of green coming in.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Good advice. You know, I noticed these folks here on The Advertising Show that do the features, Mary Lou and, let's see, who else?
Patrick Meyer.
He doesn't have a middle name, though. We've got a guest with Linda Kaplan Thaler.
I was going to ask her about her.
Mary Lou Quinlan. So I think we ought to use our middle names.
When Linda comes on, I'm going to ask her about her husband, Mr. Kaplan Thaler. Now, can you hear him? He's very upset that I just said that.
Probably so.
But, you know, what the hell? Hey, you know, the name I was trying to think of, and I took my headphones off and Pardon me, Mary Lou, for not hearing your entire bit there, but I had to focus in.
Did you?
Nick Nolte is who I was trying to think
of. Oh, okay. So he got arrested.
Glenn Campbell was doing his imitation of Nick Nolte. When you see the mugshot, if you haven't seen it yet, it's been overshadowed a little bit, I guess, because of the holidays.
But I saw Glenn on a Larry King show for Johnny Cash, and he got old.
Oh, yeah.
He got old.
Yeah, he
real
has.
Old.
Well, apparently, he saw himself on the show, and he decided to get loaded as a result of it.
I mean, can't believe what I look like.
Yeah.
Linda Kaplan Thaler, and the book is called Bang, and we'll talk with Linda here in just a few moments out of New Jersey. She's in, right, today?
New York.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Well, that's close.
Yeah.
New York.
Tri-state area.
Jersey. It's on The Advertising Show. We'll be right back in just a minute. Hey, keep in mind we've got the website, too, for you to keep in touch with us at theadvertisingshow.com. It's also a great place to find the archive shows of the past year here on The Advertising Show. Back in just a minute. Right now, it's The Wacky World of Marketing coming up next.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin, indeed.
As if that could make me resist Charmin's cushiony, soft texture.
So squeezably soft.
Squeezably soft. I don't believe it.
Try it and smell that wonderful fragrance.
Oh,
I never knew softness could be...
Well, if you think of that commercial now after being listening to the show, you think of not only Mr. Whipple, but you also think of Luke Sullivan, the author of the book, Hey, Whipple, Squeeze This,
right.
A great book on advertising and marketing. As we get into the second segment of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And our special guest today is Linda Kaplan Thaler. Linda has been responsible for some of the most touching, relevant, and famous commercials during her 24 years in the advertising and entertainment business. She is acclaimed with the industry for her innovative and topical approach. Much of her work is being a part of the American pop culture landscape. Linda and her agency are responsible for very memorable current campaigns as well, including the hilarious Quacking Aflac Duck campaign for Aflac Insurance, which includes creative promotional tie-in campaigns. It's just one of the agency's cherished accomplishments. So, Linda, thanks for joining us this weekend out of New York, and we appreciate you being on the Advertising Show.
Well, I'm thrilled to be on the show. Thank you for inviting me.
Our pleasure, Linda. I wanted to, since Ray mentioned the Aflac commercial, are you still agency of record for Aflac?
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah. And our duck waddles into new places all the time.
Well, and so does Ray. I'm sorry. So did Ray's duck.
You're right.
But I wanted to ask you.
Ducks.
I wanted to ask you. How did the? Let's get a little insight into the Aflac duck campaign. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, you know, we were pitching it against another agency, and basically Dan Amos, who's the CEO of Aflac and a really wonderful man, said that America was having trouble remembering the name Aflac. It's an acronym for American Family Life Assurance Company. Try saying that three times without spraining your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So we said to him, sure, we'll come back and we'll give you something that'll make Aflac a household word. Truth is, aside from renaming the company Tide, I didn't have a clue how we were going to do that, but we did find that when you said the name Aflac, over and over again, it sounded like a duck quacking.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the birth of the Aflac duck.
Well, you know, I think obviously a great campaign because it really put Aflac on the map, but I think that how in the world did you get your client to agree? I mean, I could envision you sitting in a conference room presenting to your client and saying, okay, it starts with the duck and blah, blah, blah. A little insight into that.
Yeah, you would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that meeting. Well, actually, when we went in to do testing for it, the people at Aflac didn't want to even test it because, after all, Aflac sells very serious insurance, sometimes cancer insurance. So we offered to pay for the test ourselves, and with the understanding that if we won the test, we would get the money back for the test.
Hmm.
And it did phenomenally on the test score.
You know, we've talked a lot about research here on the Advertising Show, and talked with some very high-profile creatives across the country, and get mixed reviews on testing. Certainly, some testing is done out there as it relates to campaigns or ads, kind of as a cover your you-know-what. And then in other cases, and I've never heard of this before, but you draw a great example of how you make your client feel a little more comfortable about taking a risk, I guess, huh?
Well, it depends what kind of testing you talk about. As a woman that says on Saturday Night Live, don't get me started. Don't even get me started when it comes to talking about focus groups. We talk a lot in our book, Bang, about research and the kind of research that's helpful and not helpful. But in general, you know, you have to start with your intuitive gut. And that's the first rule we talk about in our book. Stop thinking so much. Go for that intuitive feeling first. Then prove it out with research. And refocus what we're doing in focus groups. We're looking for universal consensus. That's not where Big Bang thinking comes from. The duck was very polarizing in focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I almost didn't even get it tested for quantitative in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, one final thing about Aflac before we move on. Ray and I have been... a little critical, I guess, of the more recent Aflac commercials, in that you introduced Chevy Chase to a more recent spot. And our question was, you know, we felt that the duck kind of took a back seat to Chevy, and that the duck should maintain the star power and the presence and the identity that it launched with, and questioned whether Chevy was really much of an additive to the campaign or not. What was your thinking there?
Well, our thinking is, you know, poor Chevy Chase falling so much like it did in the early days of Saturday Night Live. Who needed this kind of insurance more than Chevy Chase?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and put him in a supermarket, you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of fun with that commercial. And luckily the duck was unscathed through all the falling shells.
Mm-hmm.
But the duck is wandering into new places now. Actually, he's on a rooftop recently for our first ever Christmas spot with the Affleck duck.
Really? So no more celebrity involvement with...
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give it away because...
The duck goes down the chimney and gets fried,
right
okay?
Right now, he's helping Santa who can't get down the chimney because
right.
poor Santa doesn't even have that insurance.
Right. Well, there you go with, weight control issues and Affleck, which they say, we won't insure you if you're, as big as Santa, I guess.
Right. But, well, if Santa goes on the South Beach diet, who knows?
Yeah. Well, I think if you look at the Chevy Chase spot, you can see, if you watch the duck's bill very closely, it's cussing about Chevy being more in the front and the duck being in the background.
Well,
that's very possible. Who knows?
Yeah.
The duck has become quite a celebrity, so he's used to taking center stage.
I think we just have a few minutes left here, and I want to jump into some of your thoughts here about Linda Kaplan Thaler. If someone were to ask you, Linda, to describe yourself, what would you say?
What would I say? I'm a bit of obsessive-compulsive, I have to say. I'm one of these people that when I sit in a plane, I like to make sure that those things that hold the trays are evenly, skewed evenly.
I think I've sat next to you.
Yes, you probably sat next to me. I was the one who dug my nails into your... I'm not a good flyer.
Right.
So you probably still have the imprints from my fingernails on your palms.
I do appreciate you cleaning my tray.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
You have to eat better.
And clearing up that misunderstanding.
I would like to think of myself as a little obsessive-compulsive about things that really are important in advertising, particularly if you want to create kind of a big bang. And we mentioned in the book about sweating the small stuff. It's all about the details. Mm-hmm. The big ideas are not about the big visionary thinking. It's about getting all those ducks in a row, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think most good creatives that we've talked to are a bit obsessive about seeing their ideas through. Do you feel that... once you get a big bang idea at the agency, that there's much compromising once you get to the client side and begin presenting your concepts?
Well, a lot of big bang, it takes two to go bang, so to speak. And if a client isn't willing to sort of go whole hog or whole duck, as it may be, then you can lose your big bang idea, and then you have to go to, another maybe lesser bang. But what happened with the duck and with our Herbal Essences advertising several years ago were the clients were willing to go out on a limb and really go for it. And I think in this culture, taking a risk is far less riskier than being generic and bland. I think that's the bigger risk right now because there's too many messages out there and too many things are just not getting heard.
Yeah, we had Scott Bedbury, former marketing director for Nike and also worked with Starbucks and author of a great book, The New Brand World, a month or two ago, Ray?
Right.
And he mentioned that it's more risky to not take a risk than to take a risk. You agree with that?
Totally. I think polarizing is sometimes, the biggest necessity that we need right now is because it's talk value. We need buzz. And to do that, you very often have to come up with ideas that certain people like and certain people hate. It's the ones that everybody thinks are kind of nice in the focus groups. Those are the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're asking a focus group to tell you whether your campaign is on target or not is asking a focus group to do more than they're capable of doing.
What a waste of time.
But we're going to take a break. After the break, Linda, I want to talk to you about who inspired you to a career in advertising, and we'll do that in just a bit.
Okay.
Wasn't the duck either, I don't think, right?
No, that was before the duck.
last break we told you that the wacky world of marketing was coming up next. Well, it wasn't. So you've been sitting there by your radio going, I can't hear it.
But
it's not on.
It's next now,
but
though.
It's next now,
yeah.
Though. Yeah, that was just a pre-tease of a tease. More with Linda Kaplan Thaler, author of the book Bang, and also CEO and Chief Creative Officer of the Kaplan Thaler Group. And we're talking to Linda this holiday weekend out of New York City. So, when we come back, we'll have more with Linda. Stay with us on The Advertising Show.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to London, where how's this for a book promotion? A burp from the loudest belcher in the world echoed round the Tate Modern Gallery. Well, it's the Guinness World Records book, celebrating the release of its 100 millionth copy. The book, which lists world records, of course, from the smallest dog to the highest-paid TV guest star, has its own entry in the latest edition as the best-selling copyright book of all time. Everybody has a dream to be the best at something in the world, and the public has an incredible imagination, says the book's editor. That's what's kept us going. Oh, and one guest also had 1,900 piercings, studs, and rings all over her tattooed body. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Snap. What a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, tap, slap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, but Krispies.
And there's probably a recipe out there for stuffing the bird with the Rice Krispies, right?
Well, it's the Rice Krispie little dessert things, you know.
Oh, those squares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
like those.
Yeah, throw you into a sugar coma.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Special guest Linda Kaplan Thaler, author of the book Bang, Getting Your Message Heard in a Noisy World. Linda has created a savvy marketing book with counterintuitive insights and proven strategies for selling any product or any service. And we're happy to have Linda on the show today at The Advertising Show.
Yeah, Linda, before the break, I was mentioning a question about how, when you did get into the ad agency business and who inspired you. And when I was looking over your bio, which incidentally does hold the record here on The Advertising Show as being the longest bio that we've received with a two-page effort.
My parents both write them.
I guess they did. And so in any event, your bio mentions that you have a BA in psychology and a master's degree in music, and here you have a wonderful career in advertising. So the obvious question is, do you recall who or what inspired you to a career in advertising?
Yes, it would be my father, because I was in the theater at the time after I got my master's degree in music, which is roughly the history of music from the pan flute on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't making any money touring in theater, and my father suggested that perhaps he knew somebody in advertising, that I talk to that person. And I really have to credit my dad for getting me a job where I actually made money and had a good time doing it. So, and I'm happy to say also that our Kaplan Thaler Group is currently the fastest growing agency in the United States. Very proud of that.
Well, you know, we're going to verify that, because truth in advertising is something we really hammer away here at The Advertising Show. I'm just kidding.
No, check it out.
Well,
Ad Age said.
They did?
Of the top 100 agencies,
well,
yeah.
Of all the publications out there, if Ad Age said it,
it's probably true.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's probably true.
Yeah. So other than your father, did you have a mentor early in your career?
Well, my mom is a brilliant lyricist and writer, so I think I get that gene from her. But, you know, I would say that in terms of comedic writing, probably Woody Allen, who actually used to live in my building, believe it or not.
So you know.
Because, you know, creativity, as we talk about in the book, is really sort of a combination of disparate things being put together, and Woody Allen is famous for that kind of humor, you know. Mm-hmm. Try getting in touch with God. Well, yeah, try getting a plumber on a Sunday. You know, it's putting different, very, very, very different things together, and that's really the basis of creativity, I think, in anything, and particularly in advertising.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're throwing around names, I noticed on the back of your book you have a endorsement by James Carville, and I'm wondering, how in the world did you get James Carville to introduce
Well,
your book?
I worked on the, I was in the ad advertising committee for Clinton in 92, and got to know Carville, and he liked my work. I did a lot of the emotional, like, biographical stuff for Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a wonderful, brilliant man. And I think, talk about big bangs, I mean, If the Economy Stupid was probably the best big bang political platform that somebody could take, and certainly helped Clinton catapult into the presidency.
Well, is it just me, or is James Carville a wonderful candidate to endorse Botox?
To endorse who?
Botox. I mean, you could go from that.
No comment on that one.
I mean, you know, that squinty face that he always gets.
Yes, but that's his iconic look.
I know.
We wouldn't be the same with Botox.
Well, I guess his competition would want him to be a spokesperson for Botox, because
exactly.
Then he wouldn't be as wonderful
right.
as he is on the television. You know, and speaking
that or Rogaine.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's true. There's two right there.
Well, good thing you didn't bring up Viagra, Brad. Okay.
Well, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wanted to ask you, I was out on vacation in Napa Valley, and I was watching Good Morning America, and doggone it if Linda Kaplan Thaler wasn't on there with Diane.
Was.
Yes.
Really?
And Ray said, ask her if Diane's a real bitch. And I said, I'm not going to do that, Ray. Diane Sawyer's a wonderful person.
She is so nice.
Right.
But you know what they had me do on the show is really the book started out as a marketing book, you know, sort of more of an inside, you know, marketing and advertising. And it really has become, it's now, it was on the bestseller list a couple of weeks ago for Wall Street Journal Business Books. It's become really more of a book about anybody that wants to make a big bang anywhere in their life. And she asked me to get on the show and take a personal ad that was a very bland personal ad and change it into a big bang personal ad. So it was hilarious. Well, you saw the segment, but we really transformed the ad into, you know, some big bang thinking.
I thought that was interesting that she was willing to illustrate your book and your thinking process with kind of going into that direction. Was that her idea or some segment producer's
idea?
Well,
I guess it was the producer's idea, and she really went along with it. She was terrific, but I think what's happened is it catapulted this book to a completely different place now. It's really widened, you know, the scope of people who are interested in it. And we're getting, we're asked to speak all over the country now with directors and actors and record companies. Big bang thinking really applies to anybody and anything.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I know you having read your book, and I get a sense that, you know, you are an out there, cutting edge, push the envelope type individual, and that's and I mean that in the most positive way. And I set all that up with the less than 1 minute that I have left here in the segment. I heard that if you do a great job on Good Morning America, Charlie Gibson pinches you on the rear. Is there any truth to that?
No, he was as nice as could be. We did get many photo ops with him, though.
You did?
Yeah, we did. He's charming. They're really wonderful on that show.
And
by the way, you know,
there.
Part of my Big Bang thinking does have to do with music. And you mentioned my husband before, Fred Baylor, and he writes the music with us. That has helped catapult a lot of big bangs that we've done at our company.
And you mentioned, of course, that in your bio as well, that he was a lyricist and a music person. Yeah.
He is a brilliant orchestrator and composer, yes.
What would our listeners be most surprised in the less than 10 seconds we have left of what you found at Good Morning America as a guest?
I'm sorry, ask me again. I didn't hear
I'll
that.
Ask What's you after the break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to take a break here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Linda Kaplan Thaler. And we'll talk more about bang and good stuff in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad.
Well, not a real memorable jingle, except for the very beginning, but the lady was memorable, no doubt about that. Chiquita Banana, The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Linda Kaplan Thaler. And let's continue. You asked about...
I'm sorry. I stumbled on that question, Linda. Having been a guest on Good Morning America, what would our listeners be most surprised to learn about what you experienced there on Good Morning America as a guest?
Well, you know, I was a bit nervous in the beginning because I've always been a big fan of Diane Sawyer, but I think the most surprising thing to me was the producer said to me, just have a conversation with her, and actually she is the same off-camera as on-camera, you know, completely charming and very disarming for somebody of her stature, just a really easy person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
The show was just very familial, and I had a great time, and it was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Well, you look like you had a lot of fun. Let's jump into your book here. Who's the target for your book when you began to formulate the idea for your book? Who are you targeting?
Well, Robin Covell and I, my co-author, we originally started out with the target being really sort of the marketing community. But as we talk about in the book, you know, never come to closure on anything. Leave it open. So as we developed the book, we realized that the market was just about anybody who wants to create a big bang in their life, or whether it's something in your business or figuring out a way to get your toddler to put his boots on in the winter.
Mm-hmm. So if someone were to if you were to sum up your book in one sentence, what's the central hypothesis of your book?
The central hypothesis is that we're all born with an amazing amount of creative energy, and we need the right tools to be able to develop them, to create an idea that really gets heard in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. When Ray was mentioning that you were going to be a guest on last week, he saw the book from a distance, and he said he called it bong, and then he said bang, and that reminded my wife I needed an eye exam. So thanks a lot, Ray. I wanted to mention that.
Well, I want to tell you that when we do the college crowd, you know, that may be the college version.
Well, that's true.
Called bong.
So. That's true. That's true. And it does come. Well, no, we're not going to go there.
No,
So, how did you come up with the Big Bang analogy?
Well, Robin, who could probably top the mentalists of geniuses, was sitting around one day, and I said, what is it that we're doing? Because I had in my past, you know, wrote the Toys R Us song, I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid, and Kodak, we did Kodak Moments, and I said, what is it that we're doing that's getting out into the culture so quickly? And she said she was boning up at cosmology at the time, and she said, well, you know, it is sort of like the Big Bang Theory, where we put all of these hotbed creative ideas together and in this very small space, and then it explodes, and there you go. You create a universe with your brand. And we realized that there were a lot of similarities to the whole physics of a Big Bang and a Big Bang in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the book gives you the tools of how to do that. You know, one of the things is to shrink your space. Everybody works in big open spaces rather than cluster together.
Well, you know, and you know, speaking of shrinking spaces, I guess, or time components there, do you believe that when you're put under a shorter time frame that you can actually come up with
better? Yes. See, that was a joke.
Oh, there you go.
I tried to finish your sentence.
Yeah, that's
yes,
okay.
Absolutely. Yes. I used to study ad-lib theater when in doing improvisational theater, and basically we're much better when we have a shorter time frame. We're much more focused. Runners run best at the end of a race. So we try to create an atmosphere where there are very short time constraints to do things, and people are much more focused and much more creative.
So when an agency review, we have about a minute left, when an agency review goes to a bunch of agencies, or client goes to a bunch of agencies for an agency review and says, okay, you have 4 weeks to come up with your presentation, and then ends up choosing an agency and going with that presentation for an entire year. That's not such a bad idea.
What I ask for a client, usually in new business presentations, is give us less time, not more time.
Mm.
And I find that we think clearer that way.
Mm. And when you don't have a particular deadline, you self-impose that at your agency so that
absolutely.
You, yeah.
Absolutely. If we have 3 weeks, I tell people we have 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
They're on to me, but still, it puts you in that frame of mind anyway. Think about, you know, when you did your term paper, you did it the night before, and you did probably a pretty good job. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
that's true.
That's true.
So
and
many people.
Of course, what we took to stay up all night is another question that we.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
That goes back to the bong.
That's
book.
True. That's true. Apparently, we were in college at different times together.
It seems that Linda and Brad have something in common.
That's right. Well, you triggered a thought, and you know, if you call their agency and say, I need to talk to that woman that lies all the time, they connect you right to Linda.
Right to Linda?
That's
yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah, they do that.
Well, that's not good. Hey, we've got to take a break here in just a moment, but next hour, we're going to bring Linda back for another three segments here on The Advertising Show, so if you stick around, we've got more for you to come. TheAdvertisingShow.com is how we stream live, and we're heard around the nation on radio stations like the one you're listening to right now. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back in just a minute.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Once upon a time there was an engineer.
Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear.
He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says.
It's Thanksgiving holiday weekend with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. And nice talking to Linda. We'll have her back next hour for another fun-filled three-segment interview with Linda on The Advertising Show. And let's see. So you had enough turkey.
Mm. Dressing.
Dressing.
That's another thing, the dressing. You always, when you have the dressing, you think, well, why don't we have this in June?
Or July.
Or July.
Yeah.
With a hot dog. no, that wouldn't
my
work.
Favorite, I made jalapeno dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Well, you did that last year.
Yeah, it's going to be hotter this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
So what's interesting is if you know, I'm going to go back to that 4th of July issue, which is, you know, you have these turkey franks now.
Yeah.
Is dressing not a perfect accompaniment?
With a turkey frank?
Turkey frank and dressing.
Sure.
In fact,
good.
That's one of my neighbors. That turkey, Frank, and then he had his dressing. Well, anyway.
Okay, so you've had enough football for the weekend, probably
I have, but guess who hasn't?
Your wife.
You're right.
Yeah, oh well.
She loves football.
Matter of fact, she's now at this particular point watching the TV and listening to the radio.
She's cleaning her cleats.
Her cleats. Okay. Every week we feature good and bad as far as advertising goes, and it's to help you be a little bit better about what you do. This week, unfortunately, it's not good.
And now it's time for the badvertising item of the week.
So,
well,
what's not so good?
And we haven't had a bad in for a while, have
no,
we?
No, so that's good balance.
Yeah. Well, Radio Shack last summer, Ray, I don't know if you saw this, but Radio Shack had a spot that featured Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Sure.
Yeah. And the most memorable part of the spot that I recall was the ending where Shaq that says something like, hey, they don't even spell – they don't even know how to spell Shaq, right? And then they change the
– to Shaq, right.
S-H-A-Q as opposed to Radio Shaq. That's the graphic at the end of the spot. So, you know, frankly, when I first saw the spot, I thought, one of the better – you know, Radio Shack spots, and it certainly differentiates them from the other electronic stores that I see advertising out there, you know, with a celebrity. And, you know, what was it? About a month ago, I'm watching television, and what do I see? Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
Doing an endorsement spot for Radio Shack.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. What?
Why?
I don't know.
Didn't you have a new karaoke machine out or something?
You know, to me, the reason why Radio Shack is being selected as this week's advertising item of the week is that there's no continuity to their current campaign other than the fact that they're using another celebrity. No integration from the previous spot, no equity transfer, no brand building from the earlier Shack spot. You know, to me...
Wouldn't have been good to tie them both together, you know, Paul being so short and Shack being so big. You put them on a basketball court or something.
Well, and then that bringing up basketball is a very good point. I mean, why would you not take the peak of awareness of basketball in Shaq during the height of the season and continue to use Shaq? And if you want to introduce Schaefer, introduce him with Shaq, as you say.
Sure.
But they totally replaced Shaq with Paul Schaefer, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why the transition? Why did you use Shaq during the summer when basketball wasn't even going on,
right?
And then now you're using Schaefer, which I don't understand the tie-in. So I guess my final point about the Radio Shack commercials is that if you're going to use a celebrity, that's great. That can differentiate you from your competitors, especially in the retail electronic business. But have some kind of strategy behind consistency and continuity in your celebrity selection. Mm-hmm. So. There's your thought of the day.
And if you have the answer to that out there, if you're listening, and if you know why they did that, why don't you give us a note on an email?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know about that. This past week was the week that you bring back the opportunity to switch phones.
Oh, yeah.
Wireless, all the kind of stuff. And Singular broke an effort under new wireless rules. The kickoff of this past week, the federal rules requiring wireless phone companies to allow customers to take their numbers. Two new services, basically. You know, Verizon hired a bunch of new people just to handle all of the changeover.
No kidding.
And Singular, you know, they broke a multimedia campaign delineating reasons to switch. So they're very smart. They're really on top of this thing because I haven't seen anybody out there. At least I haven't caught any of the commercials that maybe would encourage you to switch to their service.
I saw a
because of that.
I saw a Singular spot, and they did not mention anything about the new legislation ability to switch and keep your original number. But what they did offer, and I hadn't seen this before, was an opportunity to forward your calls to your home or office. Let voicemail pick them up through your and you will not be charged for a cell call.
It makes the whole wireless cell phone industry a real interesting thing. Experts estimate about 9 million of the 142.5 million cell phone customers, that's a lot, are considered as in play as a result of the new rules. And Omnicom, by the way, the BBDO New York handles Singular, so they're on a fly, too.
And, you know, with that kind of competition, who's going to be the winner? I think the consumer, because there's going to be more services that are going to be offered as a result.
Oh, I love competition. I think it's great. It keeps everybody a little bit sharper. It's very smart.
Except for the advertising show. We don't want any competition there.
No. I think that's a federal law.
That's true. It is.
We've got more with Linda Kaplan Thaler coming up next hour in the Advertising Show. Patrick Meyer is going to tell us about lazy marketing. Andy Borowitz, too, will be with us, too, next hour for the Advertising Show. And we hope you'll stay with us. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, hope you didn't eat too much turkey. You did, didn't you? Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit Advertising Age Magazine online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We'll talk to you in just a few minutes next hour.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
On The Advertising Show, it's hour number two. Glad to have you back, or if you're just joining us, that's great too. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production, and this hour we continue our conversation with Linda Kaplan Thaler, author of the book Bang, B-A-N-G. A lot of great insight last hour, and we look forward to finding out a little bit more about Linda and some of the things she's written in that book this hour. We've also got Patrick Meyer on the way in just a few moments, and Andy Borowitz, too.
If you're a creative guy out there, you're just a creative woman or a creative person.
Yeah, that's...
This is this Bang book by Linda is right up your alley. And if you ever thought that maybe creative is something that could be developed or nurtured, and you're not a creative person, Linda Kaplan Thaler suggests that you can nurture it.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Anybody can be creative.
Right.
You can hit a golf club, possibly.
Well.
No, probably not.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want to.
Did you see Old Navy, you know, Hispanic advertising, a big thing, many times ignored. Gap's Old Navy division broke its first Hispanic targeted TV ad, and they're using, I wonder about this, Eric Estrada.
Well, he's supposed to be a big deal over in Mexico. He transitioned over there, and he's part of a soap opera over there.
Okay, so he does have validity in the in that audience. So we just think of him as the Washington Factor on
Chips. The Chips guy, yeah, right.
So that's good. Anyway, they're running. You've probably seen them if you listen to any of the Spanish language networks for Old Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart.
Well, and you tell me, but have you seen Fran Drescher on the she's on the Gap spots, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw that last evening.
What do you think of that? She okay?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good.
They got her now on the little phone situation there as opposed to, you know, arm in arm with the young guys, which I, my criticism originally with the what's her name? Oh, my goodness. The blonde they had before.
Nick Nolte.
Yeah, right. No, the well, I'll think of it. But they had somebody before Fran, which was an older lady.
Yeah.
That Fairchild. Fairchild.
Yeah, Morgan Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild. The person with no first name.
Uh-huh.
Morgan Fairchild.
More Fairchild, Morgan.
Right. But anyway, they had her on before, as we all know. And I thought, you know, she's a little old to be arm in arm with some of these younger guys.
Yeah.
And I think she was playing, remember the...
I love those skits that they did. Yeah, the Green Acres people. And
right.
They did the... what else did they do?
Oh.
Well, the Brady Bunch, they did that.
Brady Bunch.
I thought those were good spots.
Yeah, but the guy that was with her that they featured, I thought it was a little too much of a boy toy for her. I thought she's a little... The age difference was
we couldn't
too much.
Have Eddie Albert style, because that would totally be out of the demographic for that.
Oh, that's true. But I was waiting for Mr. Whiffle. The pig guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Whipple.
What a weird show that
Whipple.
Was.
Oh, I love that show.
You love the show?
Oh, that and
Hooterville?
Well, I loved it, but that has a different meaning today with Hooters and everything.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
No, but I liked it. Also, Beverly Hillbillies. Big fan of that.
Did you really?
I'm going to be in the cement pond later this weekend.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Good. With your cement shoes. We've got Patrick Meyer on the way on the Advertising Show. That's coming up next.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today's feature goes out to lazy management, lazy marketers, and lazy agencies in what I call lazy marketing. Now, don't take offense. This is focused on those people who step forward and simply run a 30-second TV spot again. or their same media plan from last year, or the same plan that their category and their competitors run. It's those people that take sponsorships that you've had for 10 years and just keep them going instead of re-examining them. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you sat in a kitchen or a car or a restaurant and talked to your consumer? If you haven't, then this goes out to you. Same thing with your management. When was the last time your management got out of the ivory tower? This goes out to that management. You need to know that there's a restless group of marketers who challenge everything, and they definitely challenge lazy marketing. They're trying to innovate, drive, seek, do anything to get an advantage in the marketplace that will drive their business. Who? Mini Motor Cars, Mountain Dew, Apple with their new iPod, Virgin Mobile. These are all companies that do not believe in lazy marketing. They're constantly finding new and innovative ways to go to market. Here's my challenge to you, and it's twofold. Number one, get smart people in a room, list out all the sacred cows, all the lazy marketing techniques that you may be doing. Force them open and break them. New techniques that will touch your consumer in a different way. My second request is, once you've done that, make a commitment to have no lazy marketing in your organization.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Boy, don't you think that space age production music just really sets that show off?
That's so right on. It was a great selection there.
Yeah, it did. It worked out good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. Linda Kaplan Thaler is about to join us here for the second hour of the advertising show. She's Chief Creative Officer and CEO of the Kaplan Thaler Group Limited. It's done so many different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness. The emotional song and film Don't Turn Away, which raised money for Rwandan refugees, was viewed in more than 5,000 theaters nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatic film Walk This World Together, written with her husband Fred Thaler. Kaplan Thaler, for the United Jewish Appeal, seen around the world at fundraisers and conferences and other high-profile venues. And it goes on and on. She was a part of the Clinton-Gore 92 ad campaign, which is where she met James.
Right, and, James Cardle.
And her agency's involvement in the Bill Bradley 2000 presidential campaign, including a two-minute bio that was broadcast nationwide. So she'll be joining us in a moment.
And if you didn't catch last hour's interview, she's certainly, her company's well-known for the Aflac Duck campaign, which still continues today.
Yeah. Notice they didn't bring Chevy back. He hasn't been back for a while, though.
I think I'm
curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Do I have time to read this?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I don't know. Since Linda's in New York, we'll ask her about this. But apparently Remington added a bit of guerrilla marketing to their media mix to promote its Trim and Shape bikini trimmer. I got this item for you, Ray, because you'll hear this.
Because I want to trim my bikini. Yeah.
That's a thong you're wearing. Hammerhead Advertising created 20,000 Trim and Win scratch-off cards with the promotional code located in the bikini area to drive consumers to the Remington's microsite to enter a free trimmer sweepstakes. Apparently, the cards were handed out to commuters in New York, and maybe we can remember to ask Linda about that. Edgy print ads will be running this December in Cosmo, Marie Claire, Jane, and Fitness Magazines. The print component was created by Gray Worldwide. So I don't know about you, Ray, but obviously they're targeting the New York City consumers who I guess will be headed to tropical destinations this winter, but if they're doing this now. But wouldn't this promotion seem to make more sense to wait till spring?
Yeah.
Or maybe do it both, I guess.
It'd make a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah. And just remind me, I've been meaning to ask you, do you wax?
Wax on, wax off.
Oh, because you're remodeling at the house. I was just curious. Have you been waxing the floor?
No, I just sealed.
Oh, you sealed.
I sealed. I didn't wax. Because it's a no-wax floor, okay?
Can you see the bikini from here?
And
then
yes,
you scratch right here.
Yeah, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't.
I thought you use that for trimming your beard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth with the beard. Nicely trimmed, too.
Thank you.
Back in just a minute.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Oh, you need pop, pop, pop.
fluffer dutter. Marshmallow fluff and lots of peanut butter. First you spread, spread, spread your bread with peanut butter. Add marshmallow fluff and have a fluffer nutter.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today, Linda Kaplan Thaler, author of the book Bang. Linda has authored and composed campaign jingles that are among the industry's gold standard. Some examples: I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid. Everybody knows that one. Kodak Moments with Eastman Kodak. And The Heart of Communication with Bell Atlantic. Over 13 Clio Awards, 2 were for the best original music and lyrics. So we continue now with Linda on The Advertising Show.
Yeah, Linda, welcome back this hour. I wanted to, before we jump into talking about your book, let's talk a little bit about Linda, the person. Who do you admire most in the advertising industry today, and why?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I don't know if I have one specific person in mind.
Well, throw out a few.
I really admire Phil Dusenberry. I just think what he did with DVD&O and all the people there, you know, have done a fantastic job, and I find him to be a charming and brilliant man.
You know, we had Phil on the show about a month before he retired, and they mentioned that Ted Sands and I can't remember the other gentleman, it was in an article in Ad Age that there were two executives that were going to for Phil Dusenberry upon his retirement. And my opening question, I can still remember it, it was a year and a half, at least a year and a half ago, I believe, Ray, when we had Phil on.
It's quite a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I asked Phil, since the article references two people that were going to be taking over your position, did you do that on purpose so that you could always tell your family and friends that took two of those bastards to fill my shoes?
And what did he say?
He laughed, kind of like you did.
Well, I'm also a big fan of James Patterson, mm-hmm. who was my former boss, now mega-selling author.
He's a novelist, isn't he?
He's a brilliant novelist and was a brilliant advertising guy.
Yeah.
So, Jim, if you're out there, hello.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Jim's is probably saying, if you're out there, Linda, please buy my latest novel.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I buy all of them.
You do? So what ad campaign would you like to forget you were ever involved with?
Well, you know, I will tell you one that I couldn't sell that I thought would have been very funny, but I just couldn't sell. We were doing something for a gas company, you know, gas energy company.
Sure.
And they wanted a Big Bang idea, and our line basically was that we give you gas. So, and it had the usual amount of, you know, flatulent jokes. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been hysterical, and the people laughed their bottoms off, and ultimately we didn't get the business. So they just were a little too nervous. But I thought that would have been a Big Bang. I'm not sure if I would have been embarrassed by it at the end of it, but I think it would have been pretty hilarious advertising.
You know, I think a lot of advertising, you tell me, but a lot of advertising today lacks the Big Bang, whereas 20, 30 years ago, I don't know, there just seemed to be more of it out there. And I don't know if there was more risk-taking out there 30 years ago than there is today, or if there's just less clutter from 30 years ago versus today. What do you think about all that?
Well, it's interesting because we talk a lot about that in the book, that, you know, we've bred out risk takers. The early risk takers, the one, you know, that lived in the caves, mm-hmm. those people who offered to kill the woolly mammoth and heat for dinner, mm-hmm. those guys never came back for dinner, as you can imagine. So we have bred out those people in our gene pool. So we have pretty fearful people now. And more so now, you know, as the economy got worse, instead of going out there with bigger bangs, which is what we needed, we got lesser bangs, because people put it down the food chain and let the underlings make the decisions. Well, the underlings are the ones who are the most fearful. They're the ones who are the most conservative, by and large. They're afraid of losing their jobs. We advocate that really the big decision making when it comes to putting an ad on the air should come from the very top, the very, very top.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who are the biggest risk takers.
Mm-hmm. So if you take your description there, going back to the caveman days, I think you helped me realize why art directors have evolved, because they were the ones doing the drawings inside the caves.
That's right.
So they weren't getting
killed. They never left out. They didn't have to kill the woolly mammoth in heat.
They
just drew the pictures of the woolly mammoth.
They used the woolly mammoths for the focus groups, okay?
That's true. That's true. So do you believe creative ideas come from random thinking or random events?
Yeah, you know, we have a whole chapter called Create Chaos. We are so linear in our way of thinking And it is so bad. You know, you go to school and somebody says to you, what's the right answer? You get the right answer and the teacher says, thank you. The fact is there's a million right answers, and we are taught to only go after one. Yeah. We have to be much more chaotic in the way we think. We believe and advocate that when you have an agenda, you probably shouldn't stick to it. Yeah. More great ideas have come from accidents than anything you could possibly imagine.
And your book suggests that getting creative is something that can be cultivated in people that maybe aren't or don't think of themselves as being creative people.
Yes, and one of the things we talk about in another chapter is to stop thinking so much. Mm. We have become such a rational group of people that we believe we have to think in order to exist, and it is not true. If you just take a moment out of your day and stop your thinking, all this intuitive stuff, which is far smarter than the rational brain, which is really like the hard drive of your computer, comes gushing out. Everybody has it. Everybody is inherently very, very creative. That's why when you do improv and you don't give people a chance to think, they're hysterically funny because they're just saying something that comes from the gut. We need to really cultivate that in whatever business somebody is in to work more from the gut.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you're really talking about disruptive creative lines that are creative concepts that really make the viewer or reader or whatever the case may be forced to look and see and take a notice of what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is so hard for people to get out there and be bold, and it is so important. Sweaty palms are a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ray and I think that, too, but it has nothing to do with advertising.
And speaking of which, I mean, you guys have probably had bad ideas in your life, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we researched and found that most great ideas come from somebody else's bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to create an environment where somebody is willing to throw that turkey up idea up on the wall so that somebody can turn around and make something beautiful out of it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I don't know about you, Linda, but there have been times that, and Ray and I were talking about this before the show, where we've been in client meetings, and I'll have an idea in a client meeting, and I will give it a few days before I even come back and share with the client the idea, the thought being, the client will say, how the hell, you know, how good could it be? You just came up with it.
Exactly.
You got to give them a few days to make them think you've been thinking about this, right?
Exactly, and it's too bad that it happens that way. I mean, I think more clients understood that our intuitive gut feelings were usually the ones that are the most accurate. We wouldn't be so loath to, to give out an idea as an impulse. And it's sort of a game that people are playing, and I kind of wish that it would start. You know, somebody would get to the point and say, you know, stop doing this.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the client side always understands the process, and therefore you kind of have to play that game. Do you think who's responsible? We have about a minute left. Who's responsible for mediocre advertising out there, client or the agency?
Oh, I think it's a marriage of both. I think everybody's very fearful. I do think, though, we need more clients that are willing to take some risks.
Mm-hmm. So there are never times that you believe that if a client who relies on an agency to come up with great ideas and the agency's being safe and being mediocre in their effort, knowing that they'll get that passed and approved, that really doesn't fall on the agency's shoulders?
No, I think then they should choose another agency.
Mm-hmm. It's really about the agency, I guess, demanding of the client demanding of the agency.
Yeah, so. it's always give the client at least one that's a big bang. They may not go for it, but at least offer it to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask you more about your book, and we'll do that right after the break.
We've got to take a break here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth. Remember the website, theadvertisingshow.com, and we also stream live there, too, of course. And accept your questions, too, for our guests like Linda Kaplan-Thaler. We're not done with Linda yet. She's not going anywhere, and hopefully neither are you. We'll have the Wacky World of Marketing here coming up in just a minute. We've got, later on this hour, Andy Borowitz on the way, and more with Linda. So, I mean, why would you want to go anywhere? You're probably too full of turkey, right? Stay with us on The Advertising Show.
World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Taipei, where AP reports police raided a gigolo training center in northern Taiwan and arrested 9 of the school's operators for overcharging students. The operators allegedly inflated tuition bills by adding in expensive clothes and mobile phones, and they were also accused of having links to organized crime. Classes were held in an apartment building in a suburb of Taipei and advertised through classified ads. The school received more than 200 applications in just 2 weeks. They were also lectured on taboos at bars, such as wearing white socks, smoking while walking, and walking across the dance floor. Everything a good gigolo should know. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't. Almond Joy's got real milk chocolate, coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe, and our special guest, YWCA's Academy of Women Achievers, Advertising Age's 100 Best and Brightest Women, Crane's 100 Most Influential Women in Business. And there's more, but this is only a short segment here, so we'll get right to the interview. Linda Kaplan Thaler, author of the book Bang, on The Advertising Show.
Yeah, with a two-page bio, Ray, you abbreviated that very well. That was very good.
We're actually going to read into it next week's show.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll still be reading. When we have Hank on, we'll still be talking about Linda.
That's true.
Yeah.
Before the break, I wanted to mention that I wanted to jump back into your book here. Your book obviously is all about the Big Bang idea, and certainly if you're looking for ways to develop creative and out-of-the-box thinking, Bang by Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Koval is a great book, and I'd recommend it. And it is, who published this book, Linda?
Doubleday.
Doubleday, yeah. Not to be confused with the Doublemint Twins or the twins from Coors Light. Yes. So are there any examples of when a Big Bang idea failed miserably? And if so, could you have learned anything from that?
Well, you know, we look in the book. I mean, the Taco Bell Chihuahua was just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious advertising and very Big Bang advertising. But at the end of the day, according to the people at Taco Bell, it didn't really help sell tacos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so perhaps it was a Big Bang in the wrong universe. Perhaps at the end of the day, do we really want stuff that a dog eats? Dogs kind of eat anything. So you have to examine when you create a Big Bang to make sure that you've put it in the right cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, unfortunately, the trouble with a lot of advertising that goes out there. Seems to make a Big Bang, and then it goes bust.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and when I first saw, I guess a few times after I saw the Chihuahua on Taco Bell, I said to myself, you know, Mexican food and animals and all that, I just don't see the correlation, but I'm not sure it's a positive relationship there that gives any kind of brand value to the consumer. You've been quoted as saying, Linda, that emotion beats logic when it comes to delivering an advertiser's message. Is there a balance when it comes to the entertaining versus the informative portion of a spot?
Well, as my old boss James Patterson used to say, if you're gonna, you got to throw a pie in somebody's face, but then make sure you sell them on the whipped cream. So you got to make sure that the bang has a reason. I mean, with our Affleck duck, it's no coincidence that he's saying the name of the company over and over and over again. I think what happens with a lot of these so-called sensational ads, ones that you see on the Super Bowl, they're fabulous, they're funny, and then the next day nobody remembers who the advertiser was.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really done nothing. It is very important that you really establish the criteria that's going to, at the end of the day, actually sell your product.
You know, and it's interesting. I'm going to share this real quickly with you. I have a friend that runs one of the largest independent ad agencies in the South, and shortly after you launched your Aflac campaign, it was within 4 or 5 months that he said he got a call from a person representing Aflac, and he said, you know, I saw those spots. I didn't know what the hell Aflac was, but I accepted the guy's call, and I'm meeting with him, and I probably would not have done that had I not seen those spots. And that's from somebody like us, jaded in the ad business. So I think that's quite a
testament
a testament to your campaign. What annoys you, Linda, most about the business of advertising?
fact that it's a completely anonymous art form. You know, you write a play, your name goes down there in the script. You write a television show, your name goes in the credit. Just about anything somebody does is, you know, there's authorship. There's none in advertising. I think in certain countries, I think maybe in France, sometimes they do put the name of the agency at the bottom. But I think it's sad in a way that the people who write ads or direct ads are not known by anybody out there except ourselves, you know, inside the community.
Yeah, and was it David Ogilvy, as I recall, that suggested putting your agency name on your client's advertising?
I believe he said that, but, you know, I think it makes a certain amount of sense. I mean, you photograph a beautiful model and the photographer's name is there in the ad.
Mm-hmm. Paint a beautiful picture.
Why isn't it the person who wrote it? So, I mean, I think as a result, that creates a certain amount of friction and rivalry with people because of the fact that nobody knows who does anything.
Well, and I think there are some exceptions to what I'm about to say, that being you and Donnie Deutsch and some others. But the ad agency community in general is also a terrible self-promoter when it comes to promoting their own brand or their own, what they've done lately, don't you think? In other words, it's like the cobblestone maker's children. They do a great job of promoting their clients' products or services.
Kids go without shoes, right?
But they don't promote their own brands. Do you agree with that, Linda?
Yeah, well, I think that it's difficult to, you know, you really are being hired by the client to promote them.
Mm-hmm.
So you should not be in the business of promoting yourself. Then again, it isn't, once in a while, it is nice to get recognition. I suppose it's what all those award things are for, although I'm not a real big believer in awards.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with taking an ad out in Ad Age and saying, here's our agency and here's what we've done lately, huh?
No. But it's expensive.
Yeah. Right. Who can afford advertising? An agency, for God's sakes? Are you kidding?
I love Ad Age. Ad Age is the best.
Yeah, well,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well, we like them, too, here in the advertising show. We have less than a minute left. Do you think the power of advertising, Linda, is overstated?
Not at all. And it doesn't. She obviously isn't limited to a 30-second promo on television, but I believe that the people who are out there saying that's the end of advertising are completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think advertising is the best, still the best way to get your message out there in a noisy world, provided it's done in a really big bang way.
Let's take a break here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and we've got one more segment left with Linda Kaplan-Thaler and author of Bang, and we'll come back in just a minute and talk more with Linda. Stay with us.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
There's nothing like the face of a kid eating a Hershey bar. There's nothing like it you'll ever see. A face as happy as it can be. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste around.
It's The Advertising Show, and a classic spot from a great candy bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a great city, too, as a matter of fact. With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, it's the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we are so happy that you're able to spend some time with us here at The Advertising Show, and our special guest, Linda Kaplan-Thaler.
You know, before the last segment, before the break, we were talking about advertising agencies, and if they do, I guess, a great job for their clients, they are always in the background and not really given much credit for the effort that they do for their clients. Was the creation, Linda, of the Big Bang idea and I guess ultimately the publishing of the book Bang a branding strategy for both you personally and the Kaplan-Thaler Group?
No, believe it or not, you know, it's one thing that I had never done. I had never written a book. And it just became an exciting prospect for us to do this. And I always love new challenges. It was something I had never done. And I also read so many marketing books that were so dry and by people who weren't actually doing work, you know, doing the advertising work. And I thought it would be refreshing to do one that was funny, with a lot of fun stories, and that also had a point that was really practical. A lot of people are out there are saying, you know, be noticed, be disruptive, be creative, but no one's really telling you how to do it.
Right.
So this book is kind of like a how-to on creativity.
I agree. There are two, what I find, there's two genre of books out there. There's the latest, greatest secret sauce in advertising, and then there's the here's my life in advertising, and very few really deliver on how to, as your book does. And speaking of books, what are some of the one or two better reads on advertising that you have picked up lately? Any books stand out?
Well, believe it or not, for the book, we did look at a lot of books on advertising, but we looked way further down the line on getting material for the book. For example, The Diamond Cutter is not a book on advertising. It's written by a Buddhist who became very wealthy in the diamond industry, and I found it enormously helpful in both how we run the company and in writing the book. And really, the book is about the power of positive imprinting.
Mm-hmm.
A positive imprinting, using yes rather than no constantly, is a way of really empowering creativity.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an excuse to go out and buy diamonds then.
Well, I wish.
Yeah, as if you need an excuse. So if someone could read only one chapter in your book, Linda, what chapter would it be?
And then, well, it's hard to pick because I feel they're all our children and we love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've got a favorite.
Would be Stop Thinking.
Stop Thinking.
You know, a great mathematician once said, it is by intuition we discover, by logic we prove. Bach said, I have no trouble coming up with musical ideas. I have trouble stepping on them in the morning after I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
We must go back to that gut feeling. And there's another book out there called Intuition at Work, which talks a lot about better uses for our intuitive spirits.
Well, you know, I don't know what you call it, but I was looking at my next question here as you were saying that. It says, how can intuition be used during the creative development process? So
there
what
you go.
That,
well, I read your mind.
Mean?
I intuited it.
Yeah. Well, if you can now do some remote viewing of Ray, you'll see what I see, which is not very pretty.
I'm not sure if I want to see it.
Well, he's going to put his shirt back on here after the show.
I'm glad this is a listening show.
Well, that's true. It's the theater of the mind here. We get much more mileage out of that, and there's no videotape or film.
I also want to tell people to stop worrying about the visionary thing. Okay, stop thinking about what's going to happen in 5 years. Concentrate on the here and now.
Well, you know, so the present is nowhere near 5 years from now. It's all about now. And you know, how many times have we heard advertising and the power of advertising is going south and it's going away? And we've heard that over decades, whether it was years ago with the implementation of television was supposed to put the movie business out of business, and then what was it? MTV was supposed to put the record business,
out of business, right?
And now we hear about TiVo. TiVo is supposed to be getting rid of the traditional 30-second TV spot. What's your take on that, Linda?
Well, you know, advertising doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, condensed down to the 30-second TV spot. We talk a lot about the idea of, you know, buzz factor and PR factor and product placement, and all that stuff has to do with, you know, how you create big bang ideas. So as, you know, there is going to be maybe, I think, a dissolution of 30-second ads probably over the next 10 years, but it doesn't stop advertising. It's how you create messages that have this stopping power in whatever form it's going to be. I mean, they even have ads on top of urinals now.
Which is an interesting place to put it. Hey, Linda.
Yeah.
Linda, we are out of time, but we want to thank you for also taking time out of your weekend and also taking time out of taking care of your son, Michael, who is not feeling well. We hope that he gets
a
little bit better.
Thank you, and I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Linda. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we'll be back with more in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Look what the guys on the team gave me. King of the beer frame. Well, I may not be the best at picking spares, but when it comes to picking beers, I'll pick a kingpin every time. Budweiser is the king of beers, but you know that.
Advertising. Well, no, actually, you didn't know that because that's why they keep running the commercial.
True.
You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
That was very smart. Ed McMahon, classic spot on the Advertising Show, and good talking with Linda. We've got next week Hank Kim, editor of Madison and Vine, and he is going to be on the show next week. It ought to be a great interview as well.
Anything you want to know about product placement and the role of Hollywood and Madison Avenue and how they're getting together with product placement nowadays, both with film and television and all that?
Good.
Hank knows his stuff.
Hank has it all, right?
Hank knows his stuff.
Beautiful. Yeah. And Hank will be done watching football games, so we'll have his total attention next weekend.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
Unlike your wife.
Yeah.
Who's watching football games.
All right.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Here's something that appeals to both of us. Starbucks has inked a couple of pouring rights deals. This is interesting. They've entered a domain previously dominated by beer companies and soft drink giants, and they signed a deal with Madison Square Garden and with Radio City Music Hall, both in New York City, to be the official coffee of both venues, the official coffee of those two. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
They've got the coffee. Look at the coffee. It looks like it's in a beer cup, though. Doesn't it, though?
It's a good packaging idea.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I was watching...
They charge at least $5, too.
Well, that would be cheap. Yeah. That's not enough markup. Bill Hemmer.
Right.
CNN.
Yes.
And it's the morning show, AM.
With Soledad O'Brien,
right.
CNN's American Morning.
Guess who I've been noticing they've had on the show lately?
Who?
Jerry Delafamina, a former guest.
Oh, really?
The advertising.
I didn't see him.
Well, they had him earlier in the week talking with someone else as one of their legal correspondents about the troubles that, of course, Michael Jackson's having.
Right.
And then a few weeks ago, they had Jerry Delafamina on, and I don't remember what he was talking about then, but it was some, again, some kind of PR problem or whatever it was.
Here's another guy that's on that show with Soledad and Bill.
Right.
His name is Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Here we go.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
Moving quickly to fill what it termed a dangerous power vacuum, the White House this past week appointed Vice President Dick Cheney to the position of interim King of Pop. White House spokesperson Scott McClellan told reporters that the absence of a King of Pop posed an imminent threat to civilized people everywhere. But Mr. McClellan took great pains to stress the temporary nature of Mr. Cheney's reign, saying that the vice president would serve in this new role only until the elections, or what he called a loya yurga, could be held to choose a truly representative King of Pop. Mr. McClellan also said that the vice president, while not technically a pop star, shared many qualities in common with pop stars, including massive wealth and a long-standing sense of entitlement. Appearing on Meet the Press wearing one sequined glove, Mr. Cheney said, "Clearly, the office of King of Pop has been tarnished, but I hope that by churning out a steady stream of number one singles, as well as by busting some funky moves, I will bring its luster back like never before." The vice president's first single, "Billie Jean Is Not My Interim Lover," will be released later on this week. Mr. Cheney, who was heading to Los Angeles to tape a musical special for CBS, created some controversy when he said that he expected his reign as interim King of Pop to last until 2006, at least. The comment drew howls of protest from several key U.S. allies, including Germany, who demanded that Mr. Cheney be replaced as King of Pop immediately by David Hasselhoff.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of The Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Thanks, Andy. The holiday edition of The Advertising Show, Thanksgiving holiday weekend, here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And Andy, you see Andy's book, still a bestseller, way out there.
Which is what?
I forget.
Who moved my cheese?
No, soap.
No, who moved my soap? That's right.
The CEO's Guide to Life in Prison.
Not going to get any cheese in prison.
No.
But if you do,
yes,
you don't want it.
There you go.
Hey, you know, speaking of the holidays, Jupiter Research announced that it's forecasting online holiday retail sales to be $17 billion, Ray, and that's 21% over last year's consumer spending
that
online.
That is an awfully high increase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
Well,
I think they're going to be way over.
Even if they hit 21%, it's significant. It's a significant number. They say the reason why the study has cited that consumers are more confident in spending in the online channel. Fewer consumers cite fear of credit card security. Half of all consumers say they can find the products that they're looking for online, and they believe that finally they can obtain hard-to-locate products online far easier than in stores. And I think all those are valid points.
Well, they are. I think there are some things that I prefer to shop, you know, in a brick-and-mortar place.
Certain
as opposed
things.
To, yeah.
Yeah, you would never buy furniture online. You want to sit.
No.
You want to sit. You want to
buy sushi online. Things like that.
Sushi is something that you want to buy in person, and you know the item I mentioned earlier, the little bikini shaver.
Bikini thing, yeah.
You don't want to do that online.
No.
You could cut yourself.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
No, you're probably protected from that.
Yeah.
Thanks for Linda Kaplan Thaler, and hope her son is feeling a little bit better. He's a chess champion.
Yeah.
Had a book written about him.
Wrote a book before his mother wrote a book.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Kid's smart.
Okay. I told her, now, if he gets a fever and decides he wants to get in the ad business, it's your fault.
Right.
Your fault.
Yeah. Hank Kim is our special guest next week. He's editor of Madison and Vine, and we'll be talking with Hank. So, listen, this week for lunch, it's lots of turkey, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Leftover stuff.
But put the dressing with the turkey and the cranberry on bread. You got your whole meal right there in one sandwich.
Don't forget the jalapenos and hot sauce, though.
Oh, yeah.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit Advertising Age Magazine online at adage.com. It's a great resource to go to anytime, whether you're at your work or at your home office, too. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.